They got a great bakery, and I'm going to get a couple of pounds of Italian cookies. Italian cookies, including rainbows, Steve. Those rainbows are delicious.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. My good friend, Ira Kaufman. Lee DeCamper's here. Ira, of course, is the king of Newport Richey. Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, the water damage whisperer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, and we're the guys from JoeBucksFan.com. Ira, you're smiling already. I haven't even said anything
yet. I'm smiling already because I need a new TV, and I can just picture myself walking out of a store carrying that big box, and the next thing you know, I got a hernia, Lee. I got a hernia. And you guys are going to have to rush me to Tampa General. And they're going to say, what happened? Carried a Samsung that was too heavy for him. Oh, my God. Anyway, I do need a new television. I do need some of those cosmic donuts.
You're going for it.
And I need a little Delco's.
There was something else going on this weekend that got you fired up, too. I can't remember.
So when are we going to Delco's?
My pool.
When
are we going to Delco's? We're going to make a date and all three of us go?
Of course we are.
You mentioned the pool. You remind me of your pool. I know some people that do this. They rig up a TV on their patio while they hang in their pool and float. They watch TV.
Well, I was going to do that if the Lightning were still in the playoffs, but that's short-circuited.
There you go.
Five games and out? Come on, Lightning, you're better than
that. They just weren't good enough. Panthers probably going to win the whole thing.
Maybe there's going to be some changes.
I'm just glad the Lakers are out. Wasn't that fun last night? I was so
much fun. But everybody's still talking about them. They can't stop talking about the Lakers. LeBron this and LeBron that. Now they're talking about J.J. Redick. Let's talk some Buck football, Stevie.
J.J. Redick's anti-media.
Let's talk employee pricing and Bill Curry Ford. It's continuing, ongoing. That means you buy a new vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. You pay what employees pay.
This is an open-ended initiative over there? There's no ending?
No, it's not open-ended, but it's still going on and has not stopped at the end of April. So you go to BillCurryFord.com. Curry, family name, third-generation family dealership since 1960 in Tampa, a mile north of the stadium. That means something. It's not just, you know, like executive auto corporation dealership. No, you can talk to the general manager of Bill Curry Ford. That's Sean Sullivan. He'll talk Bucks with you, NFL draft. He'll help you personally. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount, which he owns. It lives in his pocket. And
he's feeling great because he aced the draft, Steve.
Absolutely aced it. And he's got a great team there, whether it be in auto body, service, mobile service where they'll come out to your home, and just his whole sales team to make sure you've got everything you need to make the right decision.
They got loaners, all kinds of loaners.
100 loaner vehicles in the service department. And they don't charge you $38 a day for the loaner. No, it's a real, they give you the vehicle, and when your car is fixed, you bring it back. BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, family
name.
Don't
worry, drive Curry.
Very good, Ari. You got that memorized.
I got it down.
Don't worry, drive Curry. C-U-R-R-I-E. Just check them out. That's all they ask you to look at that employee pricing and get blown away. And Sage, it's May. Can't believe it. Getting closer to storm season, so we all have to keep Florida's Elite Restoration in our brains. We'll talk about them later and what they're all about. But get to Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
Steve, it won't be long before Dennis Phillips is doing one of his seminars about what the prognostications are for hurricane season.
This month, probably,
right? Yeah, it's right around the corner. Right around the corner.
I can't believe it.
And after what happened last year, we don't need any more.
No, please. We don't.
No, that would be an absolute disaster. Though the Bucs did win their big hurricane game in New Orleans. It racked up 50 points. And
there you go.
All right. Just on a personal front, do you have any last thoughts about the other teams in the NFC South? Do you think that they have fallen off or moved up? Well, we're going to talk plenty about the Bucs, but I just wanted to hit you with that.
You know, Lee, and we'll see what happens because it won't be long before the official over-under totals come out, Lee.
They usually
wait till after the draft, so maybe they're out.
Yeah, they're out already.
Okay. What are the Bucs? Like
nine and a half.
I like the over.
Yes,
I like
yes,
the over.
I agree.
And, Steve, the more I look at the division, especially post-draft, the Bucs should be the prohibitive favorites.
Lee, they should
be the prohibitive favorites. And one thing people aren't thinking enough about, look at the quarterbacks. They're all inexperienced compared to Baker Mayfield. You got Penix.
Mm-hmm.
He started three games. Bryce Young came on a little bit last year, but he's still very young. He's learning his craft. We don't know what's going on with the Saints. They drafted somebody. The guy might win the job. It could be Spencer Rattler. We saw him last year. We're hoping Spencer Rattler's the quarterback. The Bucs have Mayfield. I mean, on that alone, without bringing in Mike Evans and Bucky Irving and Godwin and McMillan and the offensive line, that is a huge advantage for the people at One Buck Place, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. The Bucs should be absolutely prohibitive favorites.
I wrote this morning on JoeBucksFan.com. if the Bucks don't sweep the Saints this year, that tells me Mayfield is hurt. I think Saints are going to be bad.
Now, you said that other years too, Lee, and it hasn't worked out. Remember when I still can't believe when the Saints came in and spanked the Bucks at home in December 2 years ago.
Yeah. 2023,
that's really bad.
This brings up the subject that I guess in the spirit of transparency of the podcast, I should share it, but I can't bear to talk about it. Because, Ira, you just said what you said, made this...
Don't tell me you're going to pick the Falcons to win this division.
No, you just made this great speech. Everyone heard it. And yet you believe 7 wins, Todd Bowles is safe. Lee thinks 4 wins, he's safe. I still don't get it. But that's me. I'm going to save my angst.
Well, in the words of Lee DeKemper, which I think is the definitive phrase about the subject, he's got street cred now. Bowles has cred, and you're not giving it to him.
I'm giving him plenty of cred.
So. I don't think one bad year is enough for him to be fired.
Yeah,
I agree.
I think the Glazers will give him slack. But that would mean 2026.
He's on notice.
Yes.
No question about it. He's on notice.
All right. Well, we're going to play with that one for.
And you don't really see the Bucks going 5-12.
No, I don't see that at all.
And if Mayfield gets hurt, that's a get out of jail card.
Exactly.
But the reason I don't see them going 7-10, that's the exact reason I believe that if they do, goodbye. Unless
some of the reasons could be injuries.
Well, unless it's an injury to your quarterback.
Yeah.
You recovered from big injuries in previous years.
Be careful, Steve. You don't want to rattle the Kyle Trask cage.
All right.
By the way, I'm sticking with my three guys that they can least afford to lose. I'm sticking with them, Lee. Mayfield, Irving. I got Irving as the second guy because I think he's that important.
Yeah.
And then, Lee, on defense, I had Reddick. Mm-hmm. But who'd you have? You had
Levante.
David. I'm not going to argue that. I'm not going to argue against that. And I'm not sure who you had, Steve.
And I like Ivor's Bucky Irving pick because if he goes down, the offense is one-dimensional, and that's what every defensive coordinator tries to do to an offense, get him one-dimensional, whether it's passing, whether it's running only. I think Ivor's astute.
Now, thank you, Lee.
I don't think you're astute at all.
Oh.
Because I think, like we said this before, I think they'll run the ball okay without Irving.
Why? Because the line's better than it was a few
years ago? Because the line's real good, and I think these guys could be okay behind it. I'm more worried, like I said, I'm more worried about Zion McCollum. And I agreed with, of course, Mayfield, and my guy was Mike Evans, because I don't think you can survive. The whole thing changes without Mike Evans.
And you point to the games that Evans missed last year.
It changes without Bucky Irving, too, but it's just a different change. But, hey, it's fun. That's what we're here for. Jason Light did a grand tour. The Buccaneers general manager went on Pat McAfee's show, Adam Schein on SiriusXM.
Is he America's guest all of a sudden, Steve?
All of a sudden. This was his week to run around town.
Even Bowles got on did an episode.
Yeah, Bowles was on Monday morning on SiriusXM NFL Radio as well. But one thing Jason Light said, Ira, which you rarely hear, and that's why we're going to talk about it, is he said Emeka Egbuka, the Bucks' first-round pick, the receiver out of Ohio State, was top 10 on the Bucks' board. Now, you don't hear that very often, Lee, and what did that tell you? Does that tell you that, hey, the Bucks took too many people off their board, put a red line through too many guys for character? What does it tell you?
It's a canned answer. It's a canned answer. Howie Roseman this week crowed how Jahd Campbell was the top 10 on their board.
There you go.
So I think it's a canned answer.
What I think it might mean, Steve, is that he was a super clean prospect.
Yes.
Super clean. And that counts a lot for the Bucks, maybe more than most other organizations. No blemishes. One of the cleanest prospects they've seen in years, from what I hear inside the walls of One Buck Place. I agree with what Lee's saying in principle, that it's a canned answer. But in this case, I think that might be true. He might be top 10 on the Buck
board. You think
board.
What's in the can is accurate, is what you're saying.
Well, but the other part of what you said is also true. They drew a line against a bunch of players, Lee. Mm-hmm. They didn't have him on the board. They took, you know, if this guy was still there at 47, so-and-so, they wouldn't have taken him. That's how careful they are about not sort of like infecting the locker room with not a cancer, but a guy that's going to be a problem. That's the same organization that had Antonio Brown and won a Super Bowl with them.
I do agree with you, Ira. I do think Egbuka was their top 10, but I also think it was a canned answer by Light, you know. And let's think about this. You ever hear a general manager say, you know, son of a gun, and we had this guy rated 20th at his position, but our owner squeezed us, and so we took him anyway. No, they're not going to say that.
Well, you know what? It's interesting Lee brings that up because you look at Logan Hall. When the Bucks traded back in 2022, They were picking late in the draft. I think they went from 27 to 33.
Yes.
Clay Light basically said, well, Hall was in the bunch of players that
the pod
that we were looking at 27. And
we thought, you know, one of those guys would still be there.
And we felt we'd get one of those guys, and we did. And I don't remember anybody talking about Joe Tryon Soyinka as a much higher pick when they drafted him. I do remember last year Jalen McMillan, when they drafted him, they said, whoa, this guy was a second-round talent. We feel we got a steal here. They said that right out of the gate. So they are at least a little bit open with that kind of stuff.
But they're also saying, Lee, for example, the fourth-round pick, you know, the fire plug edge rusher from Central Arkansas.
Mr. Walker.
Mr. Walker. We think it's a steal. This guy, you know, could have been a second or third round. Lee, that only goes so far. If you thought that way, why'd you take the chance that he was going to be there in the fourth round? You don't know that every team in the third round, you don't know what every team's going to do.
That's,
you don't.
That's very true. I will give them the benefit of the doubt on Walker, and there's a couple of reasons. One, I've heard some rumblings.
Rumblings.
That the Bucks were trying to trade up, and the ransom was a little too steep for their price.
So they took a chance that he'd be there.
Yeah, they rolled the dice. But also, if you see the video of when they did choose the guy, you saw Larry Foote go bananas. You saw the smiles on Bowles' face, on Mike Beal's face. So I think that was genuine. I don't think they're blowing smoke with Walker.
All right. Now, speaking of blowing smoke, we've had a lot of smoke here, and it's not the stuff you do with your prescription card eye, right? Whatever that is. Rondé Barber, Bucks iconic cornerback, he's got a new television show, The Rondé Barber Show, very aptly named. And it's with WFLA. Now, they've had a couple episodes, and Rondé did his post-draft episode, Ira. And what did he say? He said, point blank, that I believe the reason they took a receiver is because between Jalen McMillan, Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin, there's something going on, a mystery with one of those guys that they're not telling us, and that drove the pick. Now, that goes against everything One Buck Place said, but what makes it interesting is that Rondé Barber, and when I say One Buck Place, I mean Jason Light publicly, Todd Bowles publicly, Mike Beal, the new director, VP of personnel, said publicly, Rondé Barber works for the team, gets a paycheck from the website, he brags openly about how all the access that he has, he's the preseason voice on WFLA-TV, and he relayed a story on this same show that said he was in the building when Matthew Golden, also another top receiver in the draft, was there and was walking into Jason Light's office and blah, blah, blah. And he was talking to Beal and all these other guys.
You mean for a visit?
Yeah, yeah. For the top 30 visit pre-draft. So he's basically telling everybody, I'm credible as all get out, and this is what I believe. What do you make of this, Ira?
Well, Lee, we've been in this profession a long time, so you're going to know exactly what I mean when I say this. Rondé Barber's walking a fine line, and it's going to be a fine line as long as he has this show. He wants to make it interesting. He wants to be provocative. He wants people to listen. We all understand that. We also know that his claims of access are true, not made up, and it's not exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to the wheels and dealers, you know, and maybe even the people that sign the checks on occasion. As Steve points out, he throws something out there like suspicion, something's
intrigue.
There's an issue, it's intrigue, provocateur, and I don't know how that's going to go over. At One Buck Place. We'll see if he keeps this up. He wants to move the needle, Lee, but there's a way to do it. We'll see if there's any repercussions to it, because if I'm one of those wheeler dealers at One Buck Place, I'm not overly thrilled with what he said without explaining it. He just threw it out there, Lee, and there were no specifics. None.
Which I always love Mike Florio's quote, silence invites speculation. And so when like you said, Rondé threw that out there, like, you know, something's going on with these guys. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah. Of course, Light hasn't said anything like that. Bowles hasn't said anything like that. And they've had several media opportunities to refute it, confirm it, what have you. You know, it makes you think. And if Rondé's just being a provocateur, I love that word.
Not only hasn't Light and Bowles said anything like that, they've kind of said the opposite.
Oh, they've said exactly
they've said the opposite, Steve.
Including Jason Light right here on WDAE with the Pat and Aaron Show. Said the exact opposite. But there's Rondé saying it very comfortably and casually and looking right in the camera, and he's credible. And you know what? For the fans who may think, well, what does Rondé really know?
Oh, yeah.
We already laid out a lot. Jason Light, Bruce Arians, they went to Rondé's exclusive 50th birthday dinner, which was just recently. They're close. They're tight.
They went to the Hall of Fame induction ceremony and the party.
Yeah, exactly. Rondé's talked about looking at prospects for the Bucks in past years, helping out the scouting team. You know, not that he's working as a scout, but they have said, hey, take a look
at
these guys.
He's very visible at training camp, Steve. So, very visible at training camp.
I don't know.
Camp.
You think it's truly?
I wouldn't be shocked if it was true. I don't expect anybody from one Buck to, you know, tell someone not named Rondé Barber, hey, we don't know about Godwin, or hey, we don't know about Evans, or hey, do you know about McMillan? Or, you know, it could be true.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be true.
You would think he's talking about Godwin's rehab.
You would think.
You would think.
Especially like
you would think.
Diver, you would mention that, you know, Egbuka is about as close to a twin of Chris Godwin as there is.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just the coincidences are too rich there. But just so folks don't think we're blowing smoke, Rondé, I always refer to Rondé as a part of Light's kitchen cabinet. You know, like you said, he's broken down tape for Light just so Light could get another set of eyes on a prospect. We know he's at one Buck often. I think you even said he's got a key card. And it's not uncommon for Barber and Light to go out and have some adult beverages. So it's not like Rondé's just some guy, you know, never talks to anybody, just shooting his mouth.
It's something to monitor this year because it appears to me, based on how the sponsors look on the show, because the couple of sponsors are Buck sponsors, and this Rondé Barber show, he said on it, the greater show is part of the Bucks' 50th anniversary celebration. This is the 50th Bucks season, and it looks like it's a Bucks paid program. You know, they are partners with WFLA. I don't know. But we have to monitor that, and we will be. And I'm sure Rondé's annoyed with JoeBucksFan.com for writing it up.
Well,
because
sense,
nobody else wrote it up or talked about it.
Lee, in a sense, Rondé's already accomplished one of his goals, which is to get people talking about the show, because here we are, as we should. Rondé Barber is not some fly-by-night. He's in that building quite a bit, not just preparing for preseason games.
Not just for free Diet Cokes.
A couple more things, Sage. As long as we're on the Rondé Barber train, we'll ride it all the way to the tracks at the end here of this segment on WDAE. We'll be back actually next Saturday, Sage, 2 o'clock, as opposed to 10 o'clock this week. We're keeping everybody guessing here on our Saturday show.
Sort of like Rondé.
There you go. So Rondé was asked to grade each draft pick. He gave Emeka Egbuka an A.
As a prospect.
No, he was asked to grade the pick.
In the value.
In the framework of the pick, right? So he gave Egbuka an A. He gave each cornerback, Benjamin Morrison, second rounder, Jacob Parrish, third rounder, he gave each one of those a B, which I thought was rather interesting as well there. You know, he spoke about specifically that Parrish, Izian, and Tyke Smith is who he believes will battle for the nickel position. But according to Rondé, a guy like Parrish, who has played a lot of outside corner and is a true cornerback, unlike Izian and Smith, they're the safety background. He said the corner has better opportunity to be successful because of his experience covering receivers at nickel than the safety guy. Your thoughts?
I think he's right about that, Lee. I think Izian's the long shot out of those three. Tyke Smith wants to be on the field, Steve, for every snap. You know, 97% of the snaps wants to play safety. I'm not in a hurry to move Tyke Smith. Did he hit the rookie wall? Yeah, maybe, Lee, a little bit at the end. But I saw some good things from him. I could see a year where he gets four picks, three sacks, a couple of forced fumbles. You know, look, nobody knows slot corner better than Rondé Barber. I think Rondé likes Tyke Smith, so I'm not in a hurry to move him to a full-time safety job.
Doesn't Rondé Barber have some connection to Kansas State? Didn't one of his daughters play soccer there or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, Rondé Barber said on his show that one of his daughters dated somebody at Kansas State. The implication was that the guy she was dating was on the football team, and he said, though, that he watched a lot of Kansas State football of that. And so he had familiarity with Jacob Parrish.
I do recall social media photos of Rondé Barber wearing Kansas State gear at a Kansas State football game. Now I know what
that was actually
is.
Ira hanging out with Josh Freeman. Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. They're a one-stop shop. So you know what? That means they can get you a new kitchen if yours is destroyed by water
damage.
Josh
and his crew, baby. Josh and his crew.
And they can do it all. Bathroom, if you had a leak and you got mold and whatever it might be, and you got to tear that thing apart and start fresh, they can do that. They are experienced. They've got experience in the insurance industry like nobody else. Josh and his people 25 plus years on that side of the business. It's probably more at this point because we've been saying that for a few years.
And they have personal recommendations from people we know.
And the five-star Google reviews across the board in a very difficult industry where, you know, you're dealing with people at their lowest, you know. It's like Iroh when he doesn't see roast beef in the fridge and it's 10:30 and the chips are gone and, you know, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, the third day I'm out of control, the third day.
So Florida's Elite Restoration, call them first when you have a disaster at your property. Fire, mold, storm damage.
Ask for the Sage discount.
Ask for the Irie Kaufman discount and they're going to come out to your home, use that technology, figure out what's going on, where the problems are and where they aren't. Is the water coming from outside? Is it coming from inside? Is it coming from a busted pipe underneath my bedroom?
It's not the type of thing you let go. You can't let these things go.
Or you won't be covered by insurance. Insurance says you got to mitigate these things immediately. So you can't just, I'll wait till after the holidays. No, you're going to call them right away. They'll give you a free evaluation if you need them. If you sign up, you get $500, and let them proceed to take care of you. But get to their website, floridaselite restoration.com. And we thank our friends at Bill Curry Ford, billcurryford.com, employee pricing. Sage, you got that 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape.
Got it here tonight. Got it here tonight. Riding like a dream, baby.
You looking for a truck next? It's coming up.
You said my TV won't fit in there. I might have to get a truck just to handle the television.
It might not. All right. billcurryford.com. Shop there. Get that pricing. You'll be glad you did. All right, Iroh, look, let me throw this to you. Now, you wrote a column this week about Bucky Irving.
I did.
And you are all in on Bucky Irving.
Boy, do I love that kid.
What's the real point you were trying to make there?
How are the Bucks going to go up those 3 points that you always talk about, Steve, to 32 points a game? And then they can survive even better if the defense struggles a little bit, if you're outscoring people. So how does that happen? Is Mayfield going to have a better year? It's hard to imagine. Can the offensive line stay more healthy? Hard to imagine. They only missed 6 games, 5 of them together. You know, they missed 6 games, Lee. That's pretty good.
Yes.
So what's going to happen? I believe Irving is now established, well established, as the number one back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rashad White's not starting game one. I mean, the fans will go crazy.
Unless you go to a two-back set.
So I came up with this idea, Lee. I think he averaged about 12 carries last year. In that Denver debacle game, he only had 9 carries. Now, they fell behind early.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had a good game in the playoffs, but he just didn't have the ball enough. So I'm saying give him the ball. Don't do Derrick Henry and wear him out.
Yeah.
But instead of 12, I want 16 carries. And I think just by doing that, he might break out an extra 30-yarder, and I could see that leading to an extra 3 points. That's how I get to the extra 3 points.
Ira, you're kind of setting a table for me here, and – you know, everybody's saying, you know, the defense is so horrible. So, you know, the Bucks had to bump up to 32 points a game. Was the defense that horrible? Now, I would say the pass defense horrible. The reason why I bring this
is a strong word.
Well, a lot of Bucks fans, they believe it's not strong enough.
Yeah.
But here's something I found the other night, just doing some easy research for a story. Are you aware that there were only 2 games last year, even without Evans, even without Godwin? And, yes, even without Jamel Dean, there were only 2 games last year the Bucks lost by more than 6 points.
One was the Denver game.
Yes, and the other was Baltimore. That was a 10-point loss. And, of course, they had 2 overtime losses.
That reminds me of when the Bucks said, well, you know, with Josh McCown, we were 1-7 in one-score game, so we got this.
Yeah,
now,
Dirk Cutter used to do that, but I still think it's valid. You know, everybody thought the defense was so horrible, yet they were only blown out by 2 playoff teams.
I suggested in the column, Lee, another way to look at it, Irving had 1,500 yards from scrimmage last year. That is a big total. Yeah. He played less than half the offensive snaps. White played more than half the offensive snaps. Irving played less because in the beginning of the season, White was on the field a lot more, and then things changed about two-thirds of the way through. I am suggesting that I don't think it's outlandish that with more touches, which I'm sure he's going to get, barring injury, he could approach 2,000 yards, this guy. He could. Not rushing. Total.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, total.
I think you're
talking
about rushing.
No, total, because he's a real good receiver.
Yes, he is.
And so is White.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not knocking White as a receiver, mm-hmm. Steve, before you get on your high horse over there, because I can see.
I got no horse. That's Devin White.
So the only Buck that's reached that, it was James Wilder in 1984.
No kidding?
James Wilder. Who?
Needs to be in the ring of honor.
Needs to be in the ring of honor. Steve, so that's my point. How's the Buck offense going to be better? Put the ball in number 7's hands.
Well, when Lee suggested 2-back set, I just had a vision of the Glazers saying, so why did we draft a wide receiver number 1 in the first round if we're running two running backs and flashing back to the 1990s.
By the way, I got something. It's a pet peeve of mine.
Pet peeve. We know what that was.
We heard about it.
You know, like a Bill Belichick would say, Ira, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Ooh. I understand that.
No, what he'd say is, Ira, you need a 24-year-old.
You need a 24-year-old.
Took the words out of my mouth.
I think there's a little too much emphasis, and you hear people talking about it all the time. Grading running back. Guy's a hell of a blocker. Lee, did you draft Bucky Irving to block? Did you draft Doug Martin to block? What's going on here?
I wish.
It's an extra thing. It's nice. If Koufax could hit, it's nice.
You're talking about pass blocking, Ira?
Pass blocking.
Okay.
They go crazy over pass pro. Come on, now.
It is important, but I only wish you could have eavesdropped into a phone conversation I had with Sean Sullivan. He was in such a good mood, and I wasn't trying to provoke him. I was in a bad mood, and I went off about this very subject. You know, if blocking's that important for a back, put a guard back there. A running back should run. That's what it was. We were talking about Jalen Milroe and some other quarterback. And, like, the name of the game was throwing the ball, not running the ball. And I got Sean worked up.
Walter Payton was a hell of a blocker and, of course, a Hall of Fame running back. But there's not a lot of Walter Paytons around.
Well, Sean Sullivan said, do you know if Eric Dickerson could block?
Did Jim Brown get called on to block?
Did Derrick Henry, can he block? Of course not, exactly. But he can run.
Or Barkley.
Yeah.
Steve, am I wrong on my rant? Tell me I'm crazy. Steve.
No, he's not wrong. We need to do something to get you to rant on that even more.
Ira, anything that's connected to preserving the quarterback is important because you would be the first one to jump in and say you lose the quarterback.
I'd rather have my running back go out for a little swing pass.
You're not going to draft the guy because he can block.
I know what Steve's talking about. He's not wrong in the sense that that's an important element. But let's not lose sight of the fact or the focus that you bring a running back to your organization because he can run.
Absolutely.
If blocking is that critical, you just put a guard back there. You don't mess around with the running back. You put a guy back there who is on your team because he can block.
You know, we watched
that. By the way, that's a step away the Michael Clayton effect. I kept reading about Egbuka is such a good blocker. Like, calm down. Let's not turn the guy into Michael Clayton, please.
Sure. Now for the newer fan.
Dominic, I still can't get over it.
You did a spit take. He spit water out of his mouth.
Dominic gave the man another contract. What are you doing?
Because he blocked.
Of course, Michael Clayton was the former receiver.
Great rookie year.
06, blew everybody's mind, and then he lost his mind, essentially. And he turned into a guy who dropped a ton of passes, but blocked it, was a hell of a blocker.
Couldn't get
open. And they re-signed him, $10 million at the time, which was a lot, in 2009.
Unbelievable.
To start a new regime to build around a guy who was a great blocking receiver. It was insane. But, you know, that's the way it goes. But you got to protect the quarterback, but it is a little bit overblown, and you should be able to teach a guy to pass block. I mean, that's the bottom line. Look, who was in the Bucs' backfield when Jameis threw for 5,000-something yards?
Is that Olari or Amari?
No, you had
I'm a stiff.
Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones, who were taking most of the snaps. Jones was young and new and not the greatest at it, but he improved. Barber was okay, undrafted free agent. So, you know, you can pass block if you need to, and you should be able to teach the skill. All right, so, Sage, look, Todd Bowles.
I spoke my piece, Steve.
You said your piece. Well, the numbers sound nice, but you don't know what this guy's wear down point is. You really don't.
That's right.
So that's the challenge. That is Todd Bowles, one of his big challenges here, to figure out what's that sweet spot for Bucky Irving.
Isn't that Grizzard's job, Steve?
Yes. Well, Todd Bowles has been around the game 27 more years than Josh Grizzard. I'm putting that on the head coach to look at a guy and study his bell cow and decide, you know what? We're going to limit him to this. I don't think that's on Grizzard at all.
Which is a bigger question mark? Figuring out Bucky Irving's sweet spot? Or is Grizzard going to be an equal to Liam Cohen or better?
I'm not sure what you're asking.
We don't know anything about Grizzard. So, as an offensive coordinator.
He's got tough shoes to fill.
He's got brutally tough shoes to fill. But as it relates to Irving, I put it on Bowles. And you know what? If Tom Moore is there, and he is at 86 or 86 years old. He's a senior advisor. I'm told he's 100% sharp as a tack.
And Irving's there at 5 in the morning with them.
Exactly. That guy's seen 70 years of running backs. If he can't figure out that, then what does he do in there as an advisor?
You called it the sweet spot. That's a good way to put it. I don't want to wear the guy down, Lee. Mm-hmm. I don't.
No.
But I like the ball in that guy's hands.
But Todd Bowles is the kind of guy who doesn't like to sit players. Why did Chris Godwin get hurt last year? Bad luck. But he was on the field in what was a lost game. Antoine Winfield got hurt in week one. Garbage time of a victory. What was he doing
there? Second last play, right?
We thought Mayfield might have been in a couple of games over the last 2 years late that he didn't belong. Mm-hmm.
So
he should have been
hits.
On the side.
But Todd Bowles believes you play your guys, and that's how it goes.
Is it a Barcellian philosophy?
I don't know what it is.
Maybe.
I mean, you can't shave Todd. You can't figure out how to shave 55 snaps off Lavonte David's legs before the playoffs by letting other guys play. I don't get that. I mean, I understand the concept, but it didn't work for the Bucs too well last year. So Ira Bowles was on Sirius XM NFL radio this week, and he was asked about running backs. And, you know, it's changed. All of a sudden, last 2 years, scoring has been down in the NFL.
Eagles win with Barkley.
Derrick Henry goes to a new team and goes wild. And all of a sudden, the running back values have changed. They're getting paid a little more. And the Lions have this explosive offense built around the run game.
But there wasn't a run on running backs in the first round.
Well, they still have to believe that they're good. Draft value is, you know, a freaky thing. But Bowles went out of his way to say that, hey, those guys put the ball on notice. And teams now know, hey, we can run the ball. Takes pressure off your quarterback. And he praised Sirianni and Harbaugh. And Bowles believes it's a sort of a new revived era in the league. Do you think this is going to last?
I think it's got some legs. It's a damn passing league, and it's hard to argue that, Lee. The rules.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got to take advantage of those damn rules. I don't know how you play cornerback in this day and age, Lee. I don't know how you do it.
Well, a lot of fans say don't stand 15 yards away from the receiver.
You would also say neither does Jamel Dean. He doesn't know how to do it either.
I'm laying off Jamel Dean this week.
For this week?
I spoke my piece for this week. I'll be back strong next week at 2 o'clock on BAE. Lee, the running game, I think it was a big factor for Mayfield taking a big leap with his numbers with the Bucs. You know, you and I used to go at it, Lee, because you said, why are you running the ball? Why are you running? I said, Lee, fix the running game, and then it'll be valuable. But I couldn't disagree with you that they couldn't run a lick for 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, so what are you doing? You know, every time you look up, it's second and eight.
You're digging your own grave.
You know, that wasn't the case last year. Even White ran the ball better.
Yes, he did.
I got to give the O-line some credit, Lee. You got to give the O-line
credit. Yeah, and you
credit.
Wonder if that was Cone. You wonder if that
could
was
have been Cone. Could have been
offensive
Cone.
Line coach, who I think is pretty good. You just wonder. I guess you'd have to give Cone the credit because he was in control of it.
Did you think the pass protection was great? Or solid?
My standard for a good offensive line is a whole lot different than most fans because we go at it on JoeBucksFan.com. My theory on the offensive line is just get in people's way. Just get in people's way. And I talked about this with the NFL coach. I said, am I crazy? Just get in people's way. And he looked at me and goes, no, that's about right. He goes, get in people's way. But a lot of fans, they're not satisfied unless they see a pancake. If you didn't pancake a guy, you didn't block him.
That sounds like you, Ira. You're not satisfied unless you see a pancake.
He's got to have the maple syrup.
All right, Ira. So, look, a couple things happening this week. Later this week, and we've got plenty to talk about more with the draft and everything, but later this week is rookie minicamp. Now, for fans who don't really understand what that means.
It's underwear football.
No pads. They got a bunch of tryout players out there.
Yeah.
And this starts on Friday. Bunch of tryout guys. They got all the draft picks. Maybe it's probably Benjamin Morrison, second-round pick. Cornerback, he's not going to play.
All the coaches will be out there.
All the coaches are there, and not much happens, except they're really looking for the mental side on a lot of these guys to give them 7 million meetings and
get into the book.
We're going to have practice is what we're going to do, and they see who can actually do it, and then they're looking at how guys move and who looks quick compared to the other guys. What do you got to say about rookie camp? Is it really anything, Iroh, or not?
It's also interviews, you know, like the Sanders kid. Yeah. You know, people are going to flock over there. The 460-pound guy. You know, you won't be able to get near him.
Desmond Watson, is that his name? The Big Gator.
Shiloh Sanders.
I call him Big Gator.
So I want a picture of Tez Johnson next to the 460-pound guy.
That's got to be a good photo op.
You know what? There's enough intrigue about this rookie minicamp. I might even show up, Steve.
NFL Network this morning, they came up with the difference between Tez Johnson and that Big Gator, that Watson guy.
What'd they say?
Chris Jones.
Right in between? Could fit right in between?
The difference in their weight is Chris Jones.
Chris Jones.
Yeah, it's 464 versus 154.
Chris Jones.
But Ira, one of the greats. one of the great stories of rookie minicamp. There's two. Lee might have one, but there's two great stories for me. Number one is Mike Evans, and you were there because you were still working for the Tampa Tribune. Mike Evans, first day of rookie minicamp, goes up skies and makes a one-handed grab in the middle of the field, and everyone's just jaw-dropping, like, what the hell was that? Everybody wrote about it.
So that's 2014.
A year later.
Here comes Jameis.
No, some guy comes to rookie minicamp. People think that he is on the training staff, and they're saying, where are you going, dude? And they think he's working in the cafeteria.
And, I remember this.
And it's Adam Humphries. Nobody, he tells the story of that nobody thought that he was actually a football player. And people are like saying to him, you know, you must be the guy, you know, just move the Gatorade over there and sit this. And he's like, I'm here for a tryout. I play football. And I went to Clemson. And the Bucks were like, well, this guy didn't drop a pass. They invited him to camp. And, you know, he had a hell of a career.
Yeah, nice little career.
And he went on to 2019 when Bruce Arians arrived. Arians said that he was going to keep him, or he wanted to, but he really didn't. He was full of crap. And Belichick offered him a deal to be Tom Brady's slot guy, and he went for the bigger money in Tennessee.
And killed his career.
And then finished out his career in Washington.
So who's this year's Adam Humphries for you,
I don't know. You never know.
We might think that these undrafted free agents are a tremendous long shot to make the 53. I'm not sure Jason Light looks at it like that.
No, he doesn't.
I don't think he does. No. He's got that kind of faith in his scouts.
Yes,
he does. That if they go sign to somebody, they see something in that person. And he believes in the coaching staff, too.
This is related to the rookie minicamp. You know, I hear everybody and their brother piling on. Oh, this is the way you stop the tush push. You bring in, you know, this Watson, this 490-pound guy or whatever. Well, I seem to recall the Bucks were pretty damn good against tush push without him.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand why this all of a sudden, hallelujah, we can stop the tush push. You already did.
I'm not even sure that issue's been resolved yet, Lee, because that might come up again in the May meeting. The tush push is still being debated. I think there's still some chatter about it.
Interesting.
Hey, we're 2 weeks away from the schedule, Steve.
Oh, the schedule release. What a day that's going to be. Exciting.
Maybe it's a Wednesday. I'm one.
Is there any chance that the schedule release could change, Lee? Could it change your opinion of the finish of the season?
Let's say you think,
hey, I think the Bucks are a 10-win team. Could you look at a schedule and say, ooh, I'm thinking 9?
Yeah. If they have a stretch of four or five tough games.
Some short weeks.
Yeah, some short weeks mixed in there. It did last year, too. You know, I think I said several times last year, I said, I see a path to 9 wins. I don't know if they'll do it, but I could see a path. I could see logically how you could make a case for 9 wins. Well, they got 10 wins.
Steve, maybe even when the schedule came out, I don't know if we waited till the season started or the schedule came out, we all looked at it, Lee, and we said, gee, those last 6 games look very favorable for the Bucks, and they were.
Speaking of rookie minicamp, Benjamin Morrison, the cornerback, second-round pick out of Notre Dame, the guy with multiple hip surgeries.
They're going to be very careful with him, Steve. Very careful.
They say he's not going to be out there, but Jason Light went public this week saying he could practice right now if he had to, but we're going to be cautious, and he should be ready for training camp. Of course, Light didn't say anything about that as it relates to Chris Godwin, but that's another story that we've talked about. Now,
one element of the Bucs that I don't think is talked about enough, and I think has as much pressure as Josh Grizzard, if not more, Bucks medical staff. They had to give the green light for a guy who had 3 surgeries in 4 years to be drafted in the second round. They were obviously the ones who gave Jason Light the green light to sign Godwin, not to a one-year contract, to a multi-year contract, coming off an awful injury. A lot of pressure on that medical staff to back up their prognostications. Prognosis.
I got a question for you, Ira. Now, maybe this is me being a pain in the ass, but...
Who, you? You being cynical, Steve?
So, Baker Mayfield, he invites the family, Egbuka family, out to lunch and brings along the offensive line, is all over that. They go to some fancy Tampa spot for brunch. I actually saw $18 French toast. I thought of you. It was like,
oh,
Ira,
my
was like,
goodness.
$18 French Ira, toast.
Ira would not, been quite like, the, not quite the Breakers, but strong. The Breakers would have been $39. Yeah, yeah.
I'll ask you this first. What do you think about that?
Everybody inside One Buck Place is thrilled that kind of stuff happens. Lee, how many times in the last 3 months have you heard Light say something like this? This is the tightest team I've ever been associated with. He says it all the time, Lee.
Which
sounds like hyperbole. I don't think so. We're in the locker room, Lee, and I hate to pick on this guy, but they had a linebacker that was a problem, that became a problem, named Devin White. He was a problem. In the locker room, part of the reason why they never looked back after getting, after not re-signing him. And I don't see anybody like that now that has to be massaged, that needs Tom Brady to say, hey, we're all in this together. Let's look for the big prize, and your accolades will come. The fact that Mayfield is immediately embracing this guy, I think it's all positively. It's all a good sign.
What I thought was really cool, Mayfield brought his muscle, the offensive line. The starting offensive line was there except for, of all people, Tristan Wirfs. Now, I don't know if Wirfs was the photographer. There was a picture that was on Ibuka's dad's Facebook. But I know Wirfs, at least, well, let's put it this way. The Bucks put up video, I guess there's some celebrity bartenders. And I want Wirfs to be my bartender. He's pouring vodka? I think he must have poured half the bottle for a drink. That's my kind of bartender. But Wirfs was in town at least this week. Now, was he in town over the weekend? I don't know, but that was the only guy not in the picture.
He probably had a good reason.
Him and Mayfield are very tight.
That O-line group, Steve, very tight. Very, very tight.
Super tight. My question to you is, do you feel that Mayfield has to do that for the rest of the draft picks, or should? Like, if you do it for one guy and it's so valuable, do you basically rustle up the other draft picks around rookie minicamp and say, guys, we're all going out to lunch. If you got your girlfriend or your dad in town, bring him along, and we got to do the same thing.
I don't see him doing that for Jacob Parrish.
Well, why not?
I don't.
What's it going to cost him? $18? He's going to make $40 million this
year. First of all, he's already had French toast, so what's he going to get the next time? I mean, that's a problem. It's his side of the ball, Lee. It's his first-round pick. You can stop it right there. Let Levante take let Winfield take Parrish out.
Ira, on WDAE on Tuesday morning, Jason Light was talking with the Pat and Aaron show, and he explained that in the fourth round, he had to tell Jackie Davidson, their analytics expert and contract guru with Mike Greenberg and assistant GM Mike Greenberg. Light explained, these guys work the phones for me. They're the ones working the phones as far as
fielding calls.
Fielding calls, making calls, seeing who's potential trades, who's looking for what, how that changes, all that stuff during the draft. And, of course, most of that goes on before the draft, but a lot changes during a draft. So he said he told them, quote, hey, listen, while everything's calm right now before the draft, don't let me do anything stupid to go up there and trade and get David Walker, the edge rusher from Central Arkansas. Don't let me mortgage the future. Don't let me do it.
And that's the guy that he mentioned.
He said David Walker, the fourth round pick. Now, we talked about earlier how the Bucks went out of their minds crazy when they got to draft him. Larry Foote talking Super Bowl and all that.
Jumps up and hugs Light.
Now, Lee said he heard some rumblings that they did try to trade up. And maybe
Was too high, maybe, yeah.
I have to think, if Light maybe tried to trade up earlier in the draft, wouldn't that be the only way that he would know that he didn't want to trade up? Like, if somebody said, well, yeah, Jason, give me next year's seventh rounder, and, you know, we'll switch three spots. I don't know, but my point is that Light said that during the draft they were updating him, and he was like, yeah, let's go trade up. And they told him, no, you told us not to trade up, but keep you updated.
Who said let's trade up? Greenberg?
No. Greenberg and Davidson told Jason Light, hey, this is what this team wants. There's some opportunity here if you want to trade up. And Light was like, yeah, let's do it. And they're like, no. We're just informing you, and you told us not to let you. But we're letting you know what's out there.
You know, it's almost to the point, Steve, with the reaction that was inside the room, and we've seen the video, when they made the selection. Steve, it's almost where you think, if somebody earlier in the fourth round would have taken this guy, the Bucks would have been absolutely crestfallen.
It's bizarre. Yeah.
They might have even thought that there was a lousy draft if they didn't get this guy. But then they took the chance that the guy's still going to be there, you know, and it's not even early in the fourth round, right?
Late fourth round. Yeah, exactly.
So is that intel? I mean, intel goes so far. Intel might help you in the first round. I can't imagine intel's going to help you on who the Saints are going to take in the fourth round.
It's a good question, but I believe it is intel because you're starting the day in the fourth round. So you've got 12 hours of no draft, and you're talking, you're doing your thing, you're figuring out, all right, who could take him here? But it's limited. You know, it's not the first round. It's a little limited when you're trying to figure out what everybody wants.
What was the knock on this guy? The competition?
Look, he's from Central Arkansas, Ira. Central Arkansas. He had a strong career, not anything crazy, like 20 sacks or something. Like Mike Green had, 17 and a half at Marshall. He went in the second round to the Ravens. I'm excited about it. I'm just always trying to figure out where's the truth, Ira. Where's the truth?
I'm dying to see this guy, Walker. You know, Central Arkansas, who the hell they play? You can't even name half the teams that they played. There's been a ton of guys through the years, Steve, that put up big numbers for small market teams. And they fizzle out in the NFL when they face better competition. But every once in a while, a guy pops up from a Hobart. And Light's got experience in these things.
Sure.
You know, more than most. And he's willing to take a chance. And a fourth-round pick is not much of a gamble. Steve, they didn't take him in the second round. Took him in the fourth round. Are they counting on him? No. But I think they feel that it's all gravy if he produces. And it'll take a little pressure off Reddick because, Steve, I said it before, you might disagree. They're dependent on Reddick to do some things this year. And if he doesn't do it, this pass rush is going to be in trouble again, probably.
Yeah, look, they'll need a miracle.
They didn't draft a pass rusher in the first round. They didn't.
You know, and we talked about Rondae Barber earlier. And you know what? When he was on that Rondae Barber show, he went out of his way to say, hey, after Reddick and Yaya, Bucks don't have much. There's not much there. He said, you know, Anthony Nelson, he's been consistent, but, you know, and he said Braswell didn't show anything. And then meanwhile, we know the regime is very excited about Braswell. So, but look, they're obviously, that reaction tells me they believe this guy's going to contribute, that they needed him. Because you don't react like that if you don't really need a guy, if in your mind, right? Well, look at the reaction when they got Egbuka. It wasn't as crazy as the reaction for David Walker.
Steve, you think part of the reaction to Walker is the idea that we might not be able to hold on to Reddick past 2025, and this guy will have a year under his belt with our coaching staff, and we're going to coach this guy up. And if we lose Reddick to free agency, or if he's just not very good this fall and we move on from him, this guy's going to be an option for us. I think they think they can coach him up against NFL caliber players.
Yeah, I think the excitement in the draft room was more that they knew they were going to get Egbuka. Like, probably a few picks prior, they're like, we're a lock for Egbuka here. And Walker was more of a wild card. That's why they were talking about the trading up. Might have just been the excitement of the thrill of the chase, you know. But I agree with you that we've talked about it before on the podcast. Huge wild card, Mr. Reddick. So, and like you said, and we've said, if he does well, probably not here. If he's middle of the pack, they need a little more. If he's no good, they're in trouble. So we've been there. So, Sage, Ira, folks will get to hear you Saturday morning if they want to on WDAE Radio. If you're driving around, we'll be on the Joe Bucks Fan Show 10 o'clock this week. We're there every Saturday, changing times. But, Ira, you know what? You have any last words, anything, any subjects you want to touch on?
I got a last word right now. I can't wait for the schedule to come out. We're less than 2 weeks away. I want to know what trip I'm going to take. May go back to Atlanta. I carried on and took Marta. Took Lee's advice.
What a hardship at your four-star hotel.
And you put me up in a four-star hotel, which was very nice. And they got quite a spread at Mercedes-Benz. It's very, very, very nice. But the only sad part, that game sucked. That game was awful. That's the Kirk Cousins game.
That's your last word? The Atlanta?
No, that's not going to be my last game. I'm looking forward.
I got a question for you.
I'm looking forward to the schedule.
I got a question for you. Untold story of this draft, the Bucs did nothing at inside linebacker. Nothing. Zero. They ran out after the draft, and what they do? They got Shiloh Sanders to compete at safety. They got a 464-pound defensive tackle. I'm not hearing about some great inside linebacker prospect. There may be one who's interesting, but what's going to happen? Who's starting on opening day? Is it Anthony Walker, the veteran? Is it Servacier Dennis? What's going on? Is Dennis going to survive the preseason?
Wait a minute.
Lee wouldn't bet $10 he survives the preseason.
No. Lee, are you telling me if what is it, Walker Jr.?
Anthony Walker Jr.
If Anthony Walker Jr. is next to Levante David, does that mean the defense has to stink?
No.
I don't think so. No. The guy started 8 games last year for the Dolphins. They know how to play defense over there a little bit.
No, they don't.
You know what? They got 3 guys. And if it's 2 guys, I think they can get by, and they'll pick somebody up if they need to, if Dennis doesn't show that he's healthy going into the season. Light will go pick somebody up.
Off the street or a trade?
I am not losing sleep over the inside linebacker position.
Oh,
I'm just not.
Ira has confidence.
Lee's losing sleep.
I'm not losing sleep.
He's shaking over there. Look at him.
I think Walker's adequate. I think he's adequate. I think he's better than Britt.
I'm not objective about Britt. I really like the guy because I loved his attitude. Now, he's not Levante David. Never will be Levante David. But, I got to know him a little bit only through locker rooms. He's always talked to me. I just love the guy's attitude. I'll give you an example of the attitude I love from him. One time, me, him, and Antoine Winfield were talking about NIL. This is when it first started. And Xavier Watts, I think the guy was, he was recruited to Notre Dame out of high school. They offered him $1 million to come to Notre Dame. And here was Winfield. I was like, wait a minute, I didn't get anything. I'm, you know, and Winfield's, I was born too early. And anyway, I was talking to Britt and Winfield. I told Britt that at the time, this is like the embryonic stages of NIL in college, that some car dealer in Texas made a deal with the University of Texas. Any offensive lineman that was on the roster, any, didn't matter if he started, didn't matter if he played 10 plays a game, didn't matter if he was a scrub and never would play. Everyone got $100,000.
I want some of that no money, Isbitz.
And KJ Britt's reaction was, where's the motivation to get better?
Oh, I like that answer.
I loved that answer.
If you ever want to hear a guy moan about what he would have made with NIL money,
Winfield,
talk to Leonard Fournette.
No.
That's a guy to, who you want to talk to. All right, Ira. So
we'll be back next week, and now we'll be heading into the rookie minicamp.
And that schedule.
And the schedule.
What do you want for opening day?
Neil, I want Michael Penix. Step right up.
Oh.
I want Michael Penix.
In Atlanta?
No.
You want Michael Penix?
97 degrees. Yeah. Come on down, Michael Penix.
1 p.m. game?
Mr. Penix, meet Mr. Reddick. End of story.
Ira, what are you eating this week? Anything good?
Oh.
Yeah. We're invited to an 80th birthday party. It's not mine. I got to figure out what I'm bringing. I might bring some Maggiago bagels, you know. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to one of the Italian restaurants that I know. They got a great bakery, and I'm going to get a couple of pounds of Italian cookies. Italian cookies, including rainbows, Steve. Those rainbows are delicious. It's right up on 19, baby. Right up on 19.
In Hudson? Or?
Yeah. You take your life in your hands to get there, but it's worth it. Argento's. Go in there at 6 o'clock on a Friday. 90-minute wait. 90-minute wait,
wow.
Gentlemen.
All right, minutes. Sage. Enjoy your cookies. We'll be back. Maybe we'll see you at Rookie Minicamp, but we'll be back way before that right here on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Thank you again, Bill Curry Ford, and Florida's Elite Restoration. Go Bucks.